Hey everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are in episode 106.3, and this is 1 Samuel chapter 17. So today is a lot to unpack. It's kind of a big reading, so I'm not going to dilly-dally. But I do want to say welcome to everybody who's out there, those of you who've been listening for a long time, and those of you who just happened to find us today. I don't believe it's an accident that you happened upon this podcast. We read the Bible one chapter a day, 5 days a week. And I say we, even though it's just me by myself right now. On Fridays, I read with my co-host, Jeremiah. And it's a little bit longer, a little more stuff, you know, we talk about, we chit-chat, we sort of engage a little bit more. But we do read our Bible one chapter a day, which kind of makes it a little bit more easy to, you know, digest, so to speak. So, that said, I hope that that's the reason why you're looking to listen to this podcast, just so that you can be engaged and in a relationship with God. And the only way to be in a relationship with God is to read your Bible. So, I'm just saying, we started this 3 years ago. We're on our third season, which we weren't going to announce until January, but I'm saying it again for the third time. But we enjoy doing this. We are just your average person who felt like I was telling them to read the Bible out loud into the world. So that's what we started to do. And we keep doing it every day. Sometimes we miss a day, sometimes we miss a week. We do the best we can because life gets in the way sometimes. But we do always try to prioritize reading our Bible first. And that's where we're at. So with no further ado, I will go ahead and pray first. Then I will give you your verse of the day, and then we're going to go ahead and dive into 1 Samuel. There's a lot to unpack, lots. So let's go ahead and pray. Holy God, Heavenly Father, holy and mighty God, we love you so much, and we are thankful and grateful for all that you do, all that you provide for us. You provide for us before we even know what we need. You know in advance, and we're so thankful that you are the one that provides, and you are the one that knows well in advance what our needs are going to be. We are most grateful, especially during this Christmas season, for the gift of your son, Jesus, being born to us so that we can be forgiven of our sins, so that we can have everlasting life with you. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. He was born to be crucified, and you already knew that. So how hard it must have been for you to release him into this world where he had to die. But thank you for doing that for us. I am thankful out there for those who are listening. I thank you for their consistency. And I just pray that they will be more consistent and listen every day, reading their Bible and getting to know you better and better. I pray you watch over them. Whatever their needs are, Lord, you know what they are. Please, please fulfill whatever their needs are. And we pray over this ministry, Lord. We pray that you will grow it in whatever way that you want to grow it. We pray it in your will, whatever it might look like. You know what it is. But we're going to keep doing it until we hear otherwise. We pray over our own families and our friends. We lift them up to you, whatever their needs are, Lord. We pray for those who have wandered off to come back. We pray that you will make it clear to them mightily that they belong with you, that you are their Heavenly Father, that they are chosen by you. And we have family and friends that have wandered off or who've never believed. And I pray for each one of them, Lord. I would love to see them in heaven. And I only can hope and pray that they will hear you calling them. Lord, we invite you into this time in your word. We pray over it. We ask you to anoint it and to reveal to us what it is that you want us to learn. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's Bible verse, short and sweet, we live by faith, not by sight. And that is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We live by faith. Everything we do, we pour into believing that God is out there, that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for us, and that he is our Savior. That's all we can do. We can only live by faith, not by sight. And I think it says somewhere, I don't remember where, but it's blessed are those who believe without seeing. We didn't see Jesus. We've never met him. We didn't see him in the flesh. But there are those who did, the apostles and all those people that were healed by him. You know, they got to see him hands on. They got to see him face to face. And, you know, they were blessed. But those of us who are just living by faith, we are blessed immensely because there's no physical evidence. We just have to believe that God is providing for us, and God provided his son for us as the sacrificial lamb. So, all right, I'm not going to get on a big old soapbox here. Just telling you that that's your Bible verse. Believe by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Okay. Today is long. I'm going to go ahead and get going here. A lot to unpack with David being on the scene now. So we are 106.3 and chapter 17. Goliath challenges the Israelites. Got to put my readers on. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Soko in Judah and Azekah at Ephes-Zamin. I apologize for any mispronunciation that I may instill upon you. Saul countered by gathering his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Okay, the armor bearer had to walk in front of him with a shield. Who do you think is going to get hit first? Sorry. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Jesse sends David to Saul's camp. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army, but David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse said to David, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers." and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of the supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the man asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. David kills Goliath. It's one of my favorite stories. "Don't worry about the Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "Where a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield-bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his God. "Come over here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, from whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack David, As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell down on the earth. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Israel routs the Philistines. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. The bodies of the dead and wounded Philistines were strewn all over the road from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the Israelite army returned and plundered the deserted Philistine camp. David took the Philistine's head to Jerusalem, but he stored the man's armor in his own tent. As Saul watched David go out to fight the Philistine, he asked Abner, the commander of his army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" "I really don't know," Abner declared. "Well, find out who he is," the king told him. As soon as David returned from killing Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul with the Philistine's head still in his hand. "Tell me about your father, young man," Saul said. And David replied, "His name is Jesse, and we live in Bethlehem." Well, alrighty then. I did quite a bit of highlighting, beginning with verse 3. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. All right, so there's, you know, either side, and there's a valley. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion, came out. He was over 9 feet tall, wore a bronze helmet, bronze coat. He had mail that weighed 125 pounds. He wore leg armor and javelin, and the shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, weighed 15 pounds. I mean, this guy was like loaded down. Okay, so we're getting an idea of how big he is. So he comes out and he starts taunting them, you know, "Why are you all coming out to fight? I'm the Philistine champion. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves." So when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. They didn't know what to do. So David is the son of Jesse. We already know that. Which, okay, so I'm kind of going to go back here. It says that Saul sent messengers to Jesse to say, "Send me your son David." So David went to Saul, began serving him. Saul loved David very much. So how does Saul not know who David is in this chapter? I don't know. Maybe they got him mixed up. I'm not sure. So Jesse has 8 sons. 3 of them have already enlisted. David's the youngest son. That's in 14. Then in 16, so for 40 days, the Philistine champion, Goliath, keeps coming out and taunting. And then Jesse tells David to go and take some gifts to his brothers and to check on his brothers to see how they're doing. In 20, so David left the sheep with another shepherd, and he goes up there with the gifts. He arrived at the camp just as the Israel army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces are facing each other. David left his things with the keeper and hurries out to where the troops are. As he's walking up, the Philistine champion from Gath comes out, and David heard him shout his usual taunts. So as soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away from Goliath. So they say, he comes out each day to defy Israel. This is in 25. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. David asks the soldiers, you know, what will a man get for killing this Philistine? And they tell him exactly the same thing. And these men gave David the same reply. Yes, that is the reward for killing him. Then David's brother shows up, Eliab, and he's like, what are you doing here? You know, go back and play with the sheep. You know, you're just a kid. You just want to see what the battle looks like. So David's like, what did I do? You know, I was just asking a question. You know, being a regular kid, sounds like. And he says, you know, he gets the same question answered from somebody else. So by this time, somehow his question reaches, you know, Saul. And so David, down in 32, says, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. He tells Saul. And so Saul's like, don't be ridiculous. You're too tiny. You're a kid. And David persists. He's like, I have been taking care of my father's sheep. I know how to kill bears and lions, so I think I can take care of this Philistine. So he says in 36, I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this to this pagan Philistine too. For he has defied the armies of the living God. He said that earlier too, when he asks about it. Oh, there it is in 26. He says, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? So the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. He's like, the same God who took care of me out taking care of the sheep, he's going to protect me again. So Saul finally consents. He says, go ahead. So then he gives him his armor, and the armor's too big and bulky and hard to maneuver. So he's like, I don't need this. I'll be good. So then, Goliath walks out, and he starts taunting him. I love this part. I used to read this to my kids. Am I a dog? Did you come at me with a stick? He's taunting him on. So David replies to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will see, or will know, that there is a God of Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. So Goliath starts moving in, and David gets ready, gets his, you know, his slingshot and his one smooth stone, and he slings it, and it sinks into Goliath's head, and he falls face down on the ground. David grabs his sword, chops off his head. You know, this is it. I mean, you know, God of Israel is taking care of him. So when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran away. That's in verse 51, 52. Then the men of Israel and Judah gave a great shout of triumph and rushed after the Philistines, chasing them as far as Gath. Then the Israelite army returned and plundered the deserted Philistine camp. David took the Philistine's head to Jerusalem, but he stored the man's armor in his own tent. So as Saul watched David go out to fight the Philistine, he asked Abner, the commander of his army, Abner, whose son is this young man? This is where I get a little confused. I don't know, but didn't Abner send for him originally? Is it Abner? No, doesn't specify who sent for him in 16. Okay, so Abner, whose son is this? I don't know. Well, find out who he is, the king told him. As soon as David returned from killing Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul with the Philistine's head still in his hand. Tell me about your father, young man. And David says, his name is Jesse, and we live in Bethlehem. And that's the end of this chapter. All right, well, maybe we'll get a little clarity as to why Saul is not putting two and two together, that this is his harp player. I don't know. Maybe the chapters got mixed up. I don't think so, because God's word, it's his Bible. So I'm sure everything gets resolved somewhere, somehow. So again, this kind of goes back to our verse of the day. We live by faith, not by sight. I mean, that is the epitome of what David is doing. He is living by faith. He has complete and utter faith that God will protect him when he has to go up against that 9-foot giant. And so, I mean, there's nothing more about, you know, being faithful than this, you know, and putting all your trust in God. So if you have not put your trust in Jesus, or in your faith in God, or in Jesus, or being your Savior, this is your moment. I always give this opportunity to say the prayer of salvation. And I hope that this is the reason why you came upon this particular podcast, because maybe you haven't given your life over to Jesus. Maybe you haven't put your faith in him. And, you know, that's what God requires, is for you to believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So I'm going to say the prayer. You can say it with. I hope that you do. And make this your day, that you become a believer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your son Jesus on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the adopted family of Jesus. You are now a brother or sister in Christ. This is a new day. It's a new birthday. You have been reborn. And that's what he says. You have to be reborn spiritually. And so celebrate. Today's a day of celebration. We recommend that you mark it in your Bible. This is the Bible that we've been using this entire time, the New Living Translation. You can get this at any bookstore, online, in a bookstore, I believe. But this is what we've been using. But tell the person who's been praying for you, because I'm sure somebody has been praying for you. We also encourage you to get to a church if you have any questions that you need to ask a pastor. You know, get those questions resolved. We strongly recommend getting to be part of the church, get involved with that church. Ministries, volunteer work, there's mission work, tons of things out there. Everybody has a talent that God has given them, and, you know, use your talents that God gave you. If you're a musician, if you're a good writer, maybe you're good at graphic arts, maybe you can help them with their weekly announcements or something. Maybe you can do slideshows for the church's services. There's a plethora of things that you can possibly do, and they are always looking for people to help out. So I encourage you to go ahead and do that. We would love to hear from you. If you haven't, if you have accepted Jesus, we would love to hear about it. You can email us, Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org, or Jeremiah, if you feel more comfortable with a man, Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can leave a message on Instagram or Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are listening or watching. We try to manage that as best as we can. So, but that's it for today. We are always so grateful and thankful that you are able to join us in reading God's word. It is amazing. It's like living and breathing. I feel like I was right there on the battlefield, you know, with David. Every time I read this chapter of history of the Israelites, I find it fascinating that this young kid just got out there and is like, I'll take care of this Philistine. God's going to take care of it all. And because he's got a heart, a man after God's own heart. That's the reason why. And so that's David. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. Nobody's perfect. But he definitely had a heart for God. That's what we will find out in the next coming chapter. So I don't know what time of day it is that you're able to do this. I don't even know what day it is, what year. I mean, you might be listening to this a year from now. I have no idea. But whatever time it is, morning, noon, night, I have no idea. I'm glad that you were made it. I'm glad that you got to listen. And I hope you come back tomorrow. So God bless you. Have a great day. And I will see you tomorrow.